It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaap. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4-inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. UAMS Ortho Now, now open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, go in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment is needed. Ortho Now, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to noon. Conveniently located at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you need more information, call 501-686-TOSH. That's 501-686-8674. On this edition of From the Shortgrass, I sit down over Zoom with Nico Echevarria. Nico played college golf at the University of Arkansas and is now on the PGA Tour, where he has 3 PGA Tour wins to his credit, including this year, the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches. That came a couple of weeks ago. I sat down with him right after the Players' Championship. Nico right now ranks 14th in the FedEx Cup standings, and his official world golf ranking is 37th. In this edition, we talk about how Nico began playing the game, and he did it because of his brothers. What did they teach him about the game? You'll have to listen to find out. That's coming up after the break. Stay with us.
The future is not about a bond reaching maturity. The future is what my grandfather worked for. It's what my father carried on. It's my responsibility today. The future is my son's tomorrow. At the Stevens Private Client Group, we believe that our strength builds success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is Justin Akery. If hand or wrist pain is getting in the way of your daily life, it's time to see the specialists at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Their fellowship-trained hand and wrist surgeons treat everything from arthritis and fractures to nerve injuries and carpal tunnel. And with Arkansas's only hand trauma telemedicine program, advanced care is available around the clock. Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Nico Echevarria turned professional in 2017 and got his tour card on the PGA Tour Latino America. He had 2 wins there, and that helped him get to the Corn Ferry Tour. His official earnings on the PGA Tour Latino America, just over $145,000. In 34 events where he made 28 cuts. On the Corn Ferry Tour, which he joined in 2019, his official money earnings are just over $400,000. He didn't win on the Corn Ferry Tour, but he played 90 events and made the cut in 47 of those 90 events. In 2023, he got his PGA Tour card. He won 3 times. In fact, he won the 2023 Puerto Rico Open, won the 2024 Zozo Championship, and earlier this year, he won the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches. He has 3 total wins on the PGA Tour, 2 second place finishes, 7 top fives, 11 top tens, 26 times he has finished in the top 25 of a tournament, and he has made the cut 49 out of 96 tries. His official earnings on the PGA Tour, $9,871,858. Nico Echevarria still follows the Hogs and gives a lot of credit to his success to his Arkansas head golf coach, Brad McMakin. You're going to hear much more about that right now. On the tee, Nico Echevarria.
Nico, welcome to this edition of From the Short Grass. Man, let's get right to it. Another win on the PGA Tour a couple of weeks ago, the Cognizant Classic down at Palm Beach. How about that?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy the way that tournament finished. I didn't think I was playing for first place, but it's one of the toughest courses to close out a tournament, and stuff like this can happen.
Yeah, when you look at the way that tournament went, when did you start looking at the leaderboard? When did you know that Shane Lowry had done something that, you know, you hate to say, well, double bogey, double bogey? When did you know where you were?
I basically was looking at the leaderboard the entire time and looking that he was having a bigger and bigger and bigger gap over the rest of the field. But looking into, I was playing 15 and I was committed to finishing as best as I could. Probably not playing for first place, but it was going to be a great week, even not winning the tournament. And I two putt 16 and I'm walking to 17. There's a little bit of a wait there. And some of the security guys and the TV guys said, yeah, he just hit it in the water on 16. And that's a very poor shot. Because it's with an iron off the tee and the water's pretty far right. And that's the exact moment that I thought, okay, there's still a chance of winning this tournament. We're still in it. And I kind of sparked a little fire in me to try and close the tournament out and put some pressure.
How does that spark that fire in a tour player? I mean, amateurs, you know, you get sparked by fire sometimes by you see a buddy that you're playing with, you know, miss a putt or hit a bad shot and you're playing for like $1 or $5. But I mean, you guys are playing for major money and FedEx Cup points. So how does that just energize you when you find out what had just happened? You hate for it to happen to anybody, but on the other hand, hey, this is my chance, right?
Yeah. I think what sparks the fire is the little amount of winning we have in this sport. Maybe if you're Scottie Scheffler, you don't think the same way. But for the rest of the mortals, winning out here is very hard. And that's why you hear a lot of people in interviews say having a chance of being in contention with nine holes to go is what you want. So whenever we're in that position, we kind of get hungry for winning. Things are starting to click, obviously, because you're in contention and you've played good golf so far, really good golf so far in the tournament. And I thought I was losing it, the momentum on 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, where I wasn't giving myself many looks. But then that spark that I told you, like, okay, he might make a double bogey. I'm only one back instead of three back. There's still a lot of interesting holes coming up, 17 and 18. A lot of things can happen. And that was all the fuel I needed.
Nico, you have had 26 top 25 finishes in your career, 11 top 10s, 7 top 5s, runner-up twice, and 3 wins now on the PGA Tour. What do you attribute your success to?
I think it's the maturing and starting to know the right recipe that works for Nico. You get on tour, or you turn pro, and your eyes and your neck are looking sideways all the time, seeing what others are doing. We're starting to pinpoint exactly what we need, when we need it. We're starting to notice with my team certain tendencies that can happen at moments, maybe at the beginning of the year, maybe at the end of the year, maybe switch it up, do some drills this way or the other. And that's when you start creating success. When you can find the right people to work with and find the right things to work with, makes things simple, makes things efficient. And that's, you can spend a lot of time out here trying different things, and I don't think that's the right thing. Obviously, to find the right things, you have to try. But it's a fine line, and I think we're getting very close to the perfect recipe, and that at the end of the day, that you're happy and you're relaxed that you know the right people are doing the right things for you, and you can only focus on putting the work and trying your best out there, and that has helped me a lot.
Let's go back to the beginning. When did you first pick up a golf club and fall in love with the game?
Oh, that's a long time ago. I'm 31 years old. I think when I was 2 years old, maybe a little less than that. Come from a golfing family. I'm the youngest of three boys, and I was always playing catch up. I always wanted to be like my bigger brothers. So I had a plastic club, and I was banging a club around when I could barely walk, and I already had a club in my hands.
Growing up, where did you play, and were you self-taught, or did you get some instruction from, a professional to help you along the way, or was it your brothers that kind of taught you the ropes?
It was a little bit of everything. We did have an instructor back home in Medellin, Colombia, but for me, starting, it was just looking at my oldest brother. He was already playing good. He's 6 years older than me, and he was kind of that example of what I wanted to be growing up. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to go to IMG academies like he did. I wanted to go to a school in the States like he did. I wanted to be the South American champion like he was. So I always had a goal in front of me from what he was doing, which made it, I think, a lot easier for me. So I think it was key coming from a golfing family and being the youngest one, in my opinion, makes things a little easier because you're always looking at the example that they're giving you.
How did you end up in Fayetteville at the University of Arkansas?
I was a late commit, the class of 2012. Pretty much all the guys that were successful as a junior had already picked a school, and coaches already had no money or no scholarship for me until I started reaching out after having some success in the junior world in the US Junior. And I took three official visits. One was University of Arkansas, one was to Chapel Hill in North Carolina, and the other one was Auburn. No one was making official visits anymore. They were making official visits already committed. And I picked Arkansas. I loved the team, loved Fayetteville, loved the environment that we were in. The Blessings was just a place that you fall in love very easily. And overall, the culture. I love the culture with the standards that Brad was giving us were great, and it felt like home for me.
What does Brad McMakin mean to Nico Echevarria?
He's like another dad to me. I spent so much time with him. I learned a lot, especially on a part of your life where you're still figuring things out. You're figuring out who you want to be. How do you want to be that person? And I think having my family so far away from Fayetteville, he was a mentor to me. He gave me the right tools to be the person that I am right now.
The first time you heard Woo Pig Suey, what went through your mind?
What are they talking about? What is this chant? And then you start falling in love with the culture and going to games and supporting with yelling Woo Pig. Especially nowadays on tour, you hear a lot like people saying Woo Pig to you, and it's a sense of culture. That's why I fell in love with University of Arkansas.
I want to go back to your win at PGA National because you were playing with Taylor Moore, another Razorback. Just how cool was that, that you two were playing in that group together, and both of you so close to the top?
It was fun playing with Taylor. I have a great relationship with him. We played all 4 years together. We lived together our freshman year, and it's always fun, and it's always easier, in my opinion, playing with someone that you're close with, because things can get uncomfortable, things can get quiet, things can get maybe too serious. And my personality, I like to be relaxed. I like to have a good time, and it made it easier. I talked a lot to Taylor. I talked a lot to his caddy. Things were more normal than a back nine playing for a PGA Tour event. So it was great. How he said, I have a great relationship with Taylor. I respect him a lot. He's a great player, great person, and I'm happy to get my third win playing with him.
How did the University of Arkansas and playing there and in the SEC and getting to play the blessings prepare you for what you are faced with now, day in and day out on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, it did prepare us in the best way possible. That's why you see a lot of PGA Tour players from Georgia, Vanderbilt, Alabama, Arkansas, Texas A&M, now Texas, Oklahoma, all these schools that I think SEC golf is a different golf. It's definitely the best conference you can have. And for us playing, the blessings where it felt like our playground. It felt like we could do almost whatever we wanted out there. They felt like home. You can grab a cart, go out there, play as many holes as you want. You can have any type of practice you want with the facilities. If it gets cold, you have that indoor facility that you can work on. So it's just a very complete way of preparing yourself when you are 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, in a way that we pros prepare ourselves now. So it's a great place to build your game, grow, and become a better golfer.
How many times did you interact with John Tyson, and what does he mean to Nico Echevarria?
Yeah, John had he opened the doors for us. We play and we prepare ourselves at his playground, at his home course, at something that he built basically for us, and we're very grateful. The men's and women's golf have had his support for many, many years. Now he's starting to get very, very involved in the basketball and football teams. And you can tell we won the SEC tournaments in basketball, and that's no surprise. John Tyson has helped a lot at the University of Arkansas, and hopefully he can keep helping us grow, because I think Fayetteville is a special place for athletes.
You talk about the men's and women's golf team there at Arkansas. A native Colombian last year won the individual for the women, Maria Jose Marin. How much have you followed her game, and how does it feel to be from Colombia and see a Colombian, fellow Colombian, win on a national stage?
Yeah, it was amazing. We have the same coaches. She's been impressive to watch. I knew she was really good, but I didn't know she was this good. And it's been a lot of fun to watch her grow, and as a player, as a person. And she has a lot to offer. She's gonna do great things. Hopefully she can keep playing golf at the highest level, because she definitely has that heart that you need out there. I think Shauna and Mike have helped her a lot too. She looks composed. She looks like a mature person, and I'm very excited to see what the future has for her, because she's a definitely a great player, but she's a better person.
How often are you able to get back to Fayetteville, and when was the last time you were up there?
I haven't been there in a while. Maybe 3 years ago or 2 years ago. I do want to plan to make a trip this year for sure in the fall. I've been wanting to talk with Brad and maybe have like a reunion, or and connect that with a football game. That would be a lot of fun. to connect with all the guys that have played for Brad, and it's just special having those moments with the people that you spend so much time with. Hopefully we can get it together and enjoy some time.
Nico, when you look at your first win, Puerto Rico, when you won that first PGA Tour event, do you remember the feeling you got from that?
Yeah, I do. I do remember. I couldn't believe what I've just done.
All that hard work paying off?
Yeah, absolutely. It's you do dream about those things, but when they happen, you are on cloud nine of, did I really just did that? Did I just became a PGA Tour champion? Nobody's gonna take that from me, and that was one of the coolest moments that I'm ever gonna live.
What's the best part of your game right now, coming off of the Players Championship?
Well, the iron play was very solid. The putter has been streaky, but I consider myself a great putter. Probably the thing that I have to work on the most is the driver. We haven't been driving it that well. Bay Hill was a tough driving with the amount of travel that there is out there. And the Players' Championship, the TPC Sawgrass, it's a beast when it gets swirly with the winds and you have to hit different shots. I didn't feel very comfortable out there last week off the tee. But we're going to put some work in. We have some very interesting weeks, a lot of fun coming up, and hopefully we can dial our game to have a good Masters again.
What does your schedule look like leading up to Augusta and playing in the Masters?
Playing Houston, taking off San Antonio, and going to Augusta probably on Saturday the week before, maybe seeing the Augusta women's amateur and seeing all the Razorbacks out there. That would be a lot of fun. And yeah, I think it's going to be a preparation the week before Augusta of different lies, because you have, it's a very interesting course where you hit every type of lie, downhill, uphill, all of them. And it requires a lot of preparation. You have to be dialed with your irons to be in the right spots and in the right pockets of those greens, because if not, you'll shoot a high number out there.
No doubt about that. Do you remember the first time you drove down Magnolia Drive and what that was like?
Yeah, it was last year. It was last year, the week of Bay Hill, that I didn't end up getting in. I was first alternate to Bay Hill. So that was kind of a bummer, not playing the Arnold Palmer Invitational, but I gave myself the treat of going to Augusta National for the first time. So it wasn't that bad.
Do you think, Nico, that you can win a major?
I do. I do think I can win a major. Obviously, it takes a lot of feeling comfortable in these scenarios, because it's, I don't think it's the same winning Puerto Rico than winning a major. It requires a lot of mental strength. Obviously, winning is winning no matter what or when or how. But I do think I'm capable of doing it. And that's why I prepare myself for the highest level. I want to be number one in the world. I want to win a major. I want. There's still a lot more to come. And I think I consider myself, I'm not as young as some other players now these days on tour, but I still think I have a lot to give in my career.
You say you want to be number one in the world. Speaking of number one, right now, Scottie Scheffler, what is he doing that just is putting him at the top?
He's just a fighter out there. He hasn't had his best stuff the last few weeks, but you can tell how much it means to him. Maybe not in contention, maybe not going to win the tournament, but he's still trying his best, and he's a fighter and he's a competitor. I think that puts him on top of anyone else right now. It's just a matter of him hitting it a little better, because the fighting is never going to stop.
Do you think that someone can chase him down at some point and take away that number one spot from him?
Yeah, I do. I don't know when. I don't think it's going to be soon, but I do think there's a lot of guys that have what it takes to be number one in the world right now. We saw the performance of Ludwig. Unfortunately, he didn't close the tournament, but he's an unbelievable player. He looks like a robot out there of how easy he makes it look. I played with him two rounds at Bay Hill this year, and he has what it takes. He hits it long. He hits it very high. He putts well. He chips well. So there's not a lot of flukes in his game.
If you were able to make the President's Cup, what would that mean to Nico Echevarria?
Oh, that's one of the bucket lists I still have to cross. I love team sports. I grew up playing, representing Colombia as a team. I loved every moment representing the University of Arkansas. And now it's very individualistic. You play by yourself out there. And if we were able to make that team, that would be a great, great success for me.
Nico, you've played all over the world. Best golf course you've ever played?
Pine Valley. Pine Valley's number one.
All right, you and three others that you could play a round of golf with, living or deceased, who would they be?
I would take the whole family. My dad and my two brothers and myself, we make it a good foursome out there and have a good time.
That would be awesome. Nico, thanks so much for your time. Best of luck.
Thank you, Trey. Appreciate it.
This is Justin Akre. If hand or wrist pain is getting in the way of your daily life, it's time to see the specialists at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Their fellowship-trained hand and wrist surgeons treat everything from arthritis and fractures to nerve injuries and carpal tunnel. And with Arkansas's only hand trauma telemedicine program, advanced care is available around the clock. Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shoregrass, presented by UAMS Health, Orthopedics, and Sports Medicine. I am Trey Schaap. Well, the Masters is just around the corner. You know that when you get towards the end of March and you get towards the 1st of April, it is time for the Masters tournament. First up, it's the Augusta National Women's Amateur, though, played at Champions Retreat over 36 holes before the final round is played at Augusta National on Saturday before Masters week. On Sunday before Masters Week, it is the Drive, Chip, and Putt competition. That will be on Easter Sunday this year. And then, of course, everything kicks off with the Masters Tournament. Rory McIlroy is the defending champion. It should be a great couple of weeks in Augusta, Georgia. And in our next episode of From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health, Orthopedics, and Sports Medicine, I'm going to talk with Arkansas freshman Sarah Brincheneff. She is actually going to play in the Augusta National Women's Amateur, one of several Razorback golfers that is competing over there in Augusta, Georgia. That's it for this edition of From the Short Grass. I know you're about to get out and start playing a lot more golf. And remember this, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. The superintendents will thank you. Your fellow players will thank you as well. It's always good to care for the course. I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health, Orthopedics, and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.